Do you know that God has a great plan for your life? And do you know that He has made provisions for all that you need to fulfill His ordained plans for you? Join us as we journey into God's Word to discover and maximize our God-given destinies. Get set for radical transformation as we listen to the lead pastor, Destiny Impact Church, Pastor Demola Awoyeli, in this life-changing message. Your life will never remain the same again, in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Apostle Paul said, in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. Is the definition of our lives. Can I give you 30 seconds to just lift your hands and just worship Him for being everything to you? The songwriter sang, "Is the air that I breathe, alright, is everything, is my sustenance, is everything to me." Just give Him worship this morning and just thank Him. Just thank Him. In Him we live, in Him we move, in Him we have our being. Without Him we are nothing, without Him we are nobodies. It's the one that made us who we and not we ourselves. Worship this morning, adore Him, celebrate Him. We give You praise, our Father. Oh, blessed be Your name, blessed be Your name, blessed be Your name. Oh, Saporo Koshaparakatabazede Imbradosh Tebarakataze Brahande Eshambare Kasoria Kataze Lembradosh Ria Namazeda Yabarada. Thank You, our Father. Blessed be Your name, Lord. Give You praise, our Father. Why not ask Him to speak to you this morning? I believe the Holy Spirit is on your inside. If you are born again, ask that He will quicken His word in your heart. Alright, the Holy Spirit is on your inside. He confirms the word that is spoken. The Bible says the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders. Why not ask that the Holy Spirit confirm His word in your heart? He will confirm it to your understanding. He will confirm it to your deliverance. He will confirm it to your freedom. He will confirm it to testimony in your heart. He will supply your understanding. Blessed be Your name, our Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Lord, this morning we confess that there is no us without You. There is nothing we can be or we can do without You. And therefore, we thank You for this privilege of finding our life inside of You. Lord, this morning, take all the glory. As we listen to Your word, confirm Your word in our hearts with signs and wonders following in Jesus' name. Thank You, our Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. God bless you. I want to welcome us to church. Let me disturb us a little. I want everybody to sit in the first two seats. Everybody, I need just one or two persons at the technical stand. Alright, everybody just move. Sit here or there, alright. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. And somebody should confirm the recording and be sure it's fine. All right. Please just sit 1, 2. All right. Thank you. Mr. Tega, just sit 1, 2. All right. Very quickly. I'm waiting. I won't start teaching until we do that. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. In case you have not taken the person beside you, can you look straight to the eyeball of that person and greet that person again? Good morning this morning. I didn't hear anybody. Some people are saying it in their hearts. Okay, can you help me hold that person's hand and squeeze it and say good morning this morning? I didn't say just touch and leave. I said squeeze it. Amen. The person is a faithful. Do it gently. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to welcome us to God's presence. I have just 45 minutes this morning, and I hope that the Lord will speak to us within the brevity of time that we have. This is our fast track service. I give us 4 reasons why we hold this service. Number one, it's a product of a revelation. God showed me some about 2 years ago. I saw myself teaching business in our service in church, and I woke up out of that revelation, and I see God telling us to start exposing His people to tips for making it in their career, business, and all of that. The second reason why we hold fast track service is because it's our responsibility as a church, alright, to help you succeed out there, alright, to ensure that the things that you are learning in church on Sunday can be applied at work or at wherever it is you are functioning the next day, which is on Monday. The third reason why we hold this service is because the situation we are in this country, or we are in the country, demands such approach to ministry. People need to be taught how to be successful. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. Alright, not too long ago, I got a definition of the word happiness. How many of you have heard the word happiness before? Okay, let me tell you the fourth reason why we hold this service is because a lot of people don't know how to convert the spiritual words that they get in church to something practical. So most times pastors preach and they leave you with that work. Okay, praying in tongues. So how do you convert it to something practical? So not everybody can do that easily. Mature people know how to do that. They can convert, you know, what it is that they've learned. For example, I was in a business seminar yesterday. I was a pastor. All that they were discussing did not relate to me directly. But you know what I was doing? I was doing two things. I was listening, then I was converting it in my heart. I was doing all the principles they were sharing. I was processing it in my heart, seeing how I can relate it, all right, with what I do, the work of the ministry. But not everybody can do that, all right? So I was going to tell you the difference between joy and happiness. You know, in church, most of the time, we have spoken about joy. Am I correct? And so we said joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Am I correct? And then when we talk about happiness, we've said happiness is a function of happenstance or happenings around you. If things are happening, fine, you are happy. Alright? Happiness, they are from the same word. If things are not happening, fine. Alright? Normally, you should not be happy. But the Holy Spirit said, be joyful. But I got a light some couple of months ago that sometimes God wants us to be both joyful and happy. Sometimes, of course, every time, joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. But happiness sometimes is a function of your life. Alright? When you are fulfilled, you are happy. Do you understand? Do you understand? So, we don't only want to raise joyful people. Of course, joy is bigger and better than happiness. But we don't only want to raise joyful people. We also want to raise what? Happy people. Am I correct? Are you following me? Because you are happy when you are fulfilled. Alright, so we are not downplaying on the place of happiness. Are you following me? In fact, you should let your joy bet happiness. What am I trying to say? Be joyful in the Holy Spirit. Get enough strength and motivation to pursue life and make something meaningful out of your life. When that happens, you begin to be happy. So happiness sometimes is a function of fulfillment. When you are fulfilled, you are happy. Do you understand? And that also tells you that it's not everybody that is happy that is born again. Some are not born again, but they are happy. Why? They are fulfilled. Do you understand? So fast track service is also to help us to know what and what it is we can do to make us to be fulfilled. And in that wise, to also make us to be happy people. Say, I'm a happy person. Hallelujah. This morning we are sharing on influence. Somebody say influence. It's really a long one, but maybe not too long, but I will see how I can quickly do justice to that. Somebody say influence. Somebody say influence. Now, there are two burdens for this teaching. The first burden is number one, that God wants us to be influential and to use that influence to intentionally propagate His kingdom. That's the first point, and it's so strong on my heart. I was still here in the office yesterday, and I'm like, wow, I wish I can take time to really share this, but time will not really help us this morning. God wants us to be what? Influential. He wants us to now use that influence to affect His kingdom. Somebody say, affect His kingdom. Praise the Lord. You know, I've been taught before now, for example, that the Bible said the heart is the Lord's and his fullness thereof. How many of you have heard that before? I think Psalm 24 or something. He said the earth is the Lord's and his what? And his what? Yes, the earth is the Lord by... Can I use it this way? The earth is the Lord spiritually. But which part of the earth is the Lord practically? It's a function of which part of the earth his children has possessed. Can I say it again? Psalm 24 says the earth is the Lord, is the Lord's. But let me say that that statement only means that the earth is the Lord spiritually. But which part of the head becomes the Lord's practically is a function of which part of the earth is in possession or under the influence of God's children. For example, if an occultist, God forbid, is the owner of this complex, spiritually, the earth, which is this complex, the part of the earth which is this complex, is of the Lord. But listen to me practically, this place belongs to an occult. I'm not saying this church. I mean, I'm using this complex as an example. So the goal of God is to push his children to possess a place like this. Because any part of the earth that the children of God possesses now becomes the Lord's practically. Did you get what I said? Did you get what I said? So the earth is the Lord means number one, the earth is the Lord spiritual. Then number two, after the conclusion of the whole matter, everything still becomes the Lord. Every authority will still submit Lord. But in the time being, or in the now moment of eternity, which part of the earth becomes the Lord is a function of which part of the earth is in possession by his children. So when we talk about influence, God, you are not the one trying to be influential. God wants you to be influential. So influence is not you trying to become something. Influence is simply you living out the expectation of God over your life. And that will bring me to this statement very quickly. There is a difference between fame and popularity. God wants you to be famous, but not necessarily popular. I will explain. Popularity is of man. Fame is of God. Are you following me? If you check Isaiah very well, the Bible keeps speaking about fame. So in case you hear that Pastor Demola is famous, it's biblical. There is something about famous that points the attention of people to God. Alright? So people can be popular in the energy of the flesh, but true fame comes in the energy of the Spirit or by the sheer workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because two things that God gave Jesus was both a name and a fame. Say a name and a fame. Philippians chapter 2. The Bible says God has given him a name that is above every name. So inside the name of Jesus is the fame of Jesus. Even while Jesus was on the face of the earth, the Bible says fame went everywhere. That's the kind of Jesus you're serving. Or you're serving. Are you following me this morning? So when we talk about influence, I'm not trying to motivate you. Maybe if I'm doing that, that's not bad. I'm not trying to preach another motivational science. I'm just showing you from the word of God that God actually wants you to be influential. Why? Because your influence becomes God's influence. Please write it down. My influence becomes God's influence. My influence becomes God's influence. And I'm praying that this morning, God will raise out of this assembly people that will make God famous in the name of Jesus. Because your influence becomes God's influence. Your influence becomes God's influence. And I quickly tell somebody this morning, don't struggle to be promoted. God actually wants to be promoted. Just get your priority right. Get your perspective right. Promotion will come. Say promotion will come. Because Christians have not been well taught and they are fighting and scheming to be promoted. If you understand that in the DNA of your life is promotion. If you understand that in the program of God for your life is promotion. Why? The higher you go in life, the more influence you can exert. Am I correct? And the more influence you can exert, the more profit you can bring to the kingdom of God.
So in this service, don't be thinking maybe God wanted me to be promoted. I'm here to tell you from the word of God that God wants you to be promoted. Because, I don't know, I've not even started my outline. Because you are as influential as your position sometimes. Alright? You are as influential. Can you imagine a young man, I wouldn't know whether it's a young man or a middle-aged man, that just rose up in the Parasata in Nigeria and maybe reenacted or reactivated or brought out a law that said general overseers of countries of Nigeria, of ministries in Nigeria, once they are 70, they are supposed to retire and pass it to somebody else. It was somebody that did that. Forget whether it's a Christian in quote or not. So it means that when the right people get into position, they can influence things rightly. It is not only prayer that changes things. Positions too changes things. Amen. Listen to me. Any prayer that cannot move you into position, that prayer is not complete. Most of the time, we send our prayer on an errand, not knowing that God also wants that prayer to push you and I to position. Are you following me this morning? What would Esther have done in Esther chapter 4, the book of Esther, if she had not become the queen? It was a queenship that became the platform via which God exerted his influence upon that nation. What would Daniel have done in Babylon if he had not been promoted? In fact, when I check the life of Daniel, I see God moving him into position. And I'm praying this morning that as we listen to this word, as we go out in this season, God will move us into positions. Can I say so strongly again? God is not in fact, God wants you promoted more than you want to be promoted. God wants you to become the MD of your company. God wants you to become the vice chancellor of your school if that's your dream and desire. God wants you to become whatever it is. He wants you to become the chairman of your landlord's association. Amen. Hallelujah. I met a young lady on Futa campus about 2-3 weeks ago, and then the young lady was telling me, okay, she actually came to ask for a venue for a program. She's the all these hostel leaders, all right. And so while she came to ask for a venue, they want to do their hostel week or something. So they are having a night. Is it not all night now? I don't know what people call it. You know, this night, maybe Friday night, whatever. She's come to DIC before. She doesn't attend this one, but she comes once in a while. And so we jammed. I asked, oh, why are you here? So I came to, I am the hostel, there's the name they call it. And I had, I gave her 5 minutes attention. I said, sister, congratulations. No, I am not against you becoming the so-so. There's nothing unspiritual about it. But it is what you use it to do that matters most. Are you following me? So I gave her 5 minutes coaching. I said, if an unbeliever girl becomes the hostel with their for a particular tenor, she will go and call the bunch or whiskey for that night jam. But I say it will be a slap on the kingdom if you succumb. I know there will be pressures. Alright, that oh, we want so-so person to come and sing for us at this night. I say if you succumb to that pressure, you have failed God. I said, an unbelieving girl will go without any apology to anybody. He will use her influence. I said, because God has made you the hostel leader at this tenor. I said, sister, people are going to persecute you. They will speak against you. But I beg you, at least for the kingdom, do it. I know you will go through pressures. Some are going to say, why is our hostel whatever night different from the way it has always been? Before, we used to bring the best of whatever sugar daddies we come from town to come and carry babes and all of that. That's what we do every Friday, every night of our hostel week. But this one that has come on board, while we're bringing suggestions and so this or that, she kept refusing it. I said, sister, they will persecute you, but I beg you, stay with it and ensure that sanity is brought to that hostel. So that's the reason why God brought her to that position. Maybe nobody has told her. Alright, so what am I saying this morning is the fact that God wants us to be in position. In fact, as a child of God, don't run away from position. Don't run away, whether it is class governor, whether it is senate president, whether it is chairman of your residential association, whether it is whatever it is, because God wants us to be influential. So the first burden behind this session or this teaching is the fact that God wants us to use our influence. Don't forget that to affect the kingdom of God very positively. Do you understand? Now, the second burden behind this teaching is that God wants you and whatever it is you are doing to carry the aura of influence. Maybe somebody will be happy about that. God wants you and whatever it is you are doing to be influential. God wants everything about you to fill the earth. Because that is the mandate, Genesis 1:26, and let us make man in our own image and let them have dominion. And he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and what? And subdue it. One version or one rendition of replenish the earth simply means fill the earth. Do you understand? So whether you are in business, whether you are into career, whether whatever it is you are doing, God wants whatever it is you are doing to fill the earth. May it fill the earth in Jesus' name. I said, may whatever you are doing fill the earth in the name of Jesus. Alright, so let's start the teaching very quickly. Are you with me this morning? And can I say that the church is losing our influence? You may not believe that, but that's the truth. The church is what? Gradually losing our what? Our influence. Now, there was a study, in fact, Mark Zuckerberg wrote an article on Facebook. Some of you probably will have read it. The Gospel According to Mark Zuckerberg. Alright? And Mark Zuckerberg made a submission that people are congregating now, but not necessarily in church or in churches. In fact, the best of congregation now happens online. I don't mean church services online. He said people have not stopped meeting, but they have only reduced their meeting in church. So Mark Zuckerberg built Facebook around connectivity. Say connectivity. And I'm praying that Zuckerberg will not be a replacement for the church of God in Jesus' name. You may not understand the import of that prayer. I'm praying again that Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook will not be a replacement. Of course, it can never be. It's not even supposed to be a prayer. But I'm alerting us to a subtle shift. Alright? From the church influence to other kinds of influences. Maybe when you have time, go and search for that article online, The Gospel According to Mark Zuckerberg or something like that. You can read it on Christian website, maybe Christianity Today. Just type Mark Zuckerberg and the church. He wrote an article. He said he studied the church. In fact, he said the model that he used to build Facebook with, he got it from the church. But while the church are still fighting themselves, whether we should meet or not meet, Mark Zuckerberg has found a way of making people connect much more better. So somebody can feel the family out of church. Somebody may not come to church and still feel loved because there is a connectivity online. Do you understand? So the church is gradually losing our influence. Alright? And when we talk about the influence of the church, listen to me. The influence of the church is not first about what we do in church, it's what we do outside of the church. How you would measure the influence of a church, it's not by the move of the spirit inside of the church, but by the move of men outside of the church. I didn't say the move of the spirit outside of church. Did you get what I said? How you will measure the influence of the church is not by looking at the move of the spirit inside the church, but by looking at the move of men outside the church. Because the move of the spirit inside the church is supposed to bring about the move of men outside the church. I know what some of us call revival is the move of the spirit outside the church. Listen to me, revival is not the move of the spirit outside the church. Revival is the move of the spirit inside the church that must culminate into the move of men outside the church. So most of the revival we are celebrating in church today is a short-lived revival. It's a revival that only happens in church that does not happen outside the church. Are you following me this morning? So the influence of the church is not defined by the move of the spirit inside the church, but by the move of men outside the church. Don't get me wrong, I am not downplaying on the move of the spirit. I said there are two sides of the same coin. The move of the spirit inside the church must beat the move of men outside the church. The move of the spirit inside the church must beat the move of men outside the church. So don't judge the influence of the church by the activities that go on in the church. Rather, judge the influence of the church by the activities that go on outside of the church by men from inside of the church. In fact, when God saw that in the book of Acts, the people of God were too comfortable with legal the church, he brought persecution into their midst. So everybody now scattered. Am I correct? There is some persecution the church is facing today. Listen to me, that is not demonic, it's from God. Persecution is not altogether negative. Persecution sometimes can make you shift your position. Persecution can be God bring using men to cause you to focus on the right thing. Because when the persecution broke out in the early church, you will have thought the devil has done it worse, but it was God actually, because they were too married to themselves in the church. They wanted to start the Tower of Babel kind of a theology. You remember Tower of Babel, Genesis 11 verse 6, nobody wanted to move out. They wanted to build a kingdom, a place. The kingdom of God is not a place, it's a movement. Hallelujah. I said the kingdom of God is not a place, but a movement. And that's one of the best definitions of a ministry or church that I love, is what when people call it movement. Because it's a movement. Because right from creation, the Spirit of God has always been moving. So anybody that wants to localize, if I may use that word, or make the things of God to be concluded or confined to a location, is not helping the work of God. So the disciples in their days, they were enjoying the move of the Holy Spirit. Anytime they pray, the Holy Ghost comes down, but God said, I will scatter you. Somebody like Philip now went to Ethiopia. Do you understand? Remember Acts chapter 8? He met the eunuch, and from that he preached the word of God to him, and now one reached the whole Ethiopia. Are you following me? He went to Samaria, he preached Christ unto them. And that would not have happened if not that God allowed persecution to actually take place in their midst. Praise God. Say, God want me to be influential. Hallelujah. Somebody is asking, Pastor, what scriptures are we reading for this topic on influence? Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. It's a scripture we have quoted and flogged again and again. The Bible says, you are the light of the world. Say, I'm the light of the world. Let me just phrase the scripture. You understand what that means? You are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. I'm happy that Jesus used one of the two most important things to define who we are as Christians, salt and light. Nobody can do without salt. Nobody can do without light. Am I correct? There are some things people can do without, but salt, nobody can do without salt. Say, I'm a salt and I'm a light. Some of you are saying, Lord, I need your light. God says, you are my light. Amen. Jesus said in John chapter 9, I think verse 5, he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That's so profound. Can somebody say, as long as I'm in this family, I am the light of this family? As long as I'm in this hostel, I am the light of this hostel. As long as I'm a staff in this company, I'm the light of this company. As long as I am a member or I'm an occupant on this street, I'm the light of this street. So Jesus never made mistake, alright, when he said that you and I are both salt and we are what? Light. Say, I'm a salt and I'm a light. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, the Bible said, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, holy nation, a peculiar people, alright, that we have been called out of darkness to show that we might show for the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The reason for our royal priesthood nature is for us to exercise influence. Say, influence. We have been called out of darkness that we might show for his praises. We have been called out of darkness and show forth his praises. So when we talk about salt and light, we are talking about influence. And one thing I love about salt and light is that it is not about the size or quantity, but about the nature. So I carry the nature of influence. Salt has a nature. Salt, you know, like I used to say, you can cook a 15,000 naira soup and just buy, not 15 naira salt is too much. Am I Somebody say, the bokoto is 12,000, the pepper is 225, the whatever is 500, so the salt too must be 3,000. The salt can't even go up to 10 naira. Am I correct? Can you imagine how powerful? Somebody can look at you and say, you are inconsequential, you are so tiny, you are so small, remind them of salt. Amen. It just takes a spoonful of salt, alright, to change the condition of a 15,000 naira. Somebody's hungry. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's not about your size. It's not even about your quantity. That, oh, I must be big, I must be massive, I must be much or more, as it were. It is about the nature that the sword carries. Say, carry the nature of light. And you know, if a place, let us assume we are in the night, maybe in the evening, and everywhere is dark here. Or this is your small torchlight phone. Maybe in those days of look at, I know some of you are carrying halogens now. You know, this Android for some of them there. I mean, those days, some of you have, I still have one of those. Very tiny. The moment you introduce that tiny light into a thick darkness, it changes the condition of that darkness. Am I correct? It may not be sufficient to light up everywhere, but you no longer call it thick darkness. Am I correct? As tiny as that is, in fact, anytime somebody points that tiny light to a thick darkness, somebody in that tiny light becomes a point of focus. Am I correct? Nobody remembers the darkness again. Somebody says, I can see light somewhere. Is anybody in the room? Am I correct? That is the kind of life God wants you to live. Isaiah chapter 61 says, darkness shall cover the earth. He said, arise and shine, for your light has come. He said, the glory of God is risen upon you. He said, darkness shall cover the earth, but gross darkness the people upon you. The glory of God shall arise. Say, the glory of God shall arise upon my life. You know, Christians today, we are asking God, God, the darkness is so thick. God says it is normal. The thicker the darkness, the brighter the lower light. Did you get what I said? The darkness is so thick in my place of work, in my compound. Everybody is walking naked. Everybody is dubious. Everybody looking forward to cornering the company. Nobody loves God again in quotes and all of that. But listen to me, the thicker the darkness, the more the chance for my life to shine. The thicker the darkness. Somebody say, oh, Nigeria is so full of problems. I say, it's because you don't know. The bigger the problem, the better the opportunity. Am I correct? The bigger the problem, the better the what? Opportunity. It's because most of the time we focus on the darkness without focusing on the light. We focus on the government without focusing on the Christian. Amen. We focus on the third person or the third party without focusing on and the reason why God actually brought us to where we are. So it is not by size, it's not by quantity, it is by the nature that carries. Little salt can change the taste of an entire food. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Revelation chapter 11 verse 15. Very powerful scripture. This will take you back to where I started from. Revelation 11 verse 15. The Bible says the kingdoms of this world has become what? The kingdoms of our God and his Christ. Now listen to me. That is what should be. Amen. And that is what we be by God's grace. Revelation 11 15. That is what should be. It's not a past tense. It's, you know, it's a prophecy or a revelation. It is what should be and what will be. I don't know how it will be, but I know it will be. But this is a picture of what God expects from us. That the kingdoms of this world must become what? The kingdoms of our God and his what? And his Christ. What that means is that God wants every kingdom. The word kingdom here means spheres. Say spheres. Say spheres. What that kingdom meant, as I said, is simply was spheres. So what God wants to happen is that the spheres of this world must be under the control or leadership of God. But you know, in church today, we have only focused on one sphere. Even at that one sphere itself, we are not doing well. You know, there are about seven of them. If you've read the article of the seven mountains that all Christians must conquer. Maybe I should mention them very quickly. Number one is religion. You may want to write down that very quickly. Just want to explain Revelation 11, 15 in our own context. In case you hear the word, the kingdoms of this world has become the kingdoms of our God. Don't be thinking, maybe thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Maybe something imaginary, maybe something spiritual. Of course, kingdom is spiritual, but it has practical expression. Are you following me? Entertainment world is spiritual. Am I correct? But it has practical expression. And all of that. The business world is spiritual. So when the Bible speaks about the kingdoms of this world, I have identified seven of them. You know, an article has been written on that. Some of you are familiar with that already. I've identified seven of them. Number one is the kingdom of religion. And listen to me, when I talk, I don't have time. When I talk about religion, I'm talking about church. Church, in this context of my discussion, is a type of religion. Religion simply means belief. Belief system. What people believe. So God wants us as his children to influence people's belief system. Can I shock you? You is some of us who are in church today that still believe some things about Christianity. A lot of folks out there don't believe this stuff we are believing. In fact, the number of those who are believing otherwise seem to be more than the number of some of us who are believing this thing. So God wants us to take religion in my own context this morning beyond let's clap our hands, let the Holy Spirit move. How can you and I infiltrate people's belief system? Are you following me? And that will encourage some of us who write or post stuff to the world out there. Understand that when you post stuff on social media, particularly if you have a large following, your audience are not only Christians. So how can I bring a principle, a biblical principle, and bring it in the context of an atheist? Sometimes it's difficult for a Christian to convince an atheist today because you are quoting Holy Spirit. Amen. You are quoting John chapter 3 verse 16, and an atheist does not believe in all of that. That was why when Paul went to Ephesus or something, he began to come up with their poets and all of that. He said even in your poets, in your poetic book, it was written to an unknown God. He began to say stuff that they could relate to it. So what Paul brought to Ephesus, of course, he brought the influence of the Holy Spirit to Ephesus, but he changed their belief system. So there's a kingdom of religion, and don't forget that I said, religion is not just about church, it's about people's belief system. If you have enough time, go and do research for people, you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked. Sometimes we need to open our ears beyond just what we discuss in church alone. People are discussing some things that if you open your ears to hear, you want to question, are they human beings? They are human beings, but the devil has dominated their belief, their mind. Amen. And you'll be amazed. You'll be thinking in this 21st century, nobody still believe that there's no Jesus. Billions of people believe, maybe not billion, because we are just 7.8 billion in the world. At least not less than 1 billion people believe there is no Jesus. I'm telling you. Praise God. So don't be comfortable. Quite sincerely, education on theology, they are very important. Because some of you are thinking, of course, some are going to influence that sector in a massive way. So you need some theological education. Alright? You need some, beyond speaking in tongues, you need some fundamental truths in the Bible that nobody can gainsay. Amen. And you marry it with contextual realities. Because that's our problem. We just dump it out some people. Marry it with contextual. Number two is family. We need to influence the world of family. Alright? Influence marriages and relationships. Alright? Divorce is not bad to people now. Even though that. Right, but to an average person, divorce, there's no big deal in it. But I read something, I don't know how true it is, but I know it's not true. That the number of men are far less than the number of women. Am I correct? In the world today. Am I correct? So some people are camping around that to say that to polygamy must be the way out. Abi, all these plenty women, where are they going to go? That's the way some people are reasoning. And they go to a scripture, is it in Isaiah? That is, that come to Isaiah or whatever scripture, that seven women shall take hold on the skirt of one Jew. Say the Bible already supported polygamy. That means one man, seven women. The Bible has already said, it's a lie. That's not what the Bible says. It's by influence. Amen. That a Jew, a kingdom species, will be so influential that people want to be named after him. People want to associate with him. Alright, so we must influence the world of family. So in case God is giving you an assignment in that area, understand that you have a serious work to do. Amen. I said amen. Number three is the kingdom of education. Our time will fail me too, because this is more like a side explanation. Maybe I'm helping somebody to discover where he can belong. Alright. We have religion, we have family, we have education, all right, we have governance or government. Governance or government. Some of you are going to function in that sphere. You're going to influence politics and policies. Do you understand? So don't run away from it. Amen. I said amen. The job of a pastor is to disciple men that are going into every of this sector. Disciple men. The reason why it looks as if politicians, so-called Christian politicians, are failing. I heard something about a very corrupt politician in this nation that is having a corruption case hanging around his head. That he was a very committed person in church. Maybe he was a deacon or somebody very influential, very spiritual before he entered politics. But now, if you're talking about corruption, you would have mentioned two people, three people without mentioning this person's name. But he said, while he was a young man, very sound boy in church, or brother in church. But what has happened? They were preparing him to make heaven. They were not preparing him to enter politics. Because some people enter politics with a very good heart. But the pressure in the political sphere was too much for them to handle. So pastors should not only prepare members to make heaven, pastors should prepare members to make earth. Because if you are going to function in the world of politics, you need toughness. You need to understand to stand in that sphere without bowing to the pressure in that sphere. Are you following me this morning? So we have governance, number five, right? We have media. Media. Alright? Media. Social media is part of it, television and all. And I love what somebody said some time ago. You know, most time when we talk about media, our advocacy has always been that we need Christian stations. That has been our advocacy, but that is not the complete truth. We need thoroughly bred Christians who can enter secular stations. So in case you see a Christian starting a secular station, he has not backslidden. Listen to me, the moment a station is stand a Christian station, it will be limited in viewership. Are you following me? So our advocacy has always been, I need Christian station because I want to open my TV or radio and listen to same things. But for us to really influence the world of media, we don't really need much or many Christian stations. We need thoroughly bred Christians who can function in secular stations and change that landscape. Do you understand? Because the moment you say Christian stations, you can count the number of Christian stations in Nigeria and know how many people are watching them. Am I correct? But you can count quite a few or a number of secular stations that have millions of viewership. So we need Christians who can stand in such secular stations, but they have been thoroughly bred. And they know how to change the dynamics between Christianity and doing their job well. Do you understand? Because when a Christian gets to secular station, obviously he won't go there and be preaching. But he will be bringing Christian values. Do you understand? Because our Christianity is not only in our message, it's in our value. It's in our philosophy. Do you understand? And you don't have to preach John 3:16. There are some values we bring up there. That they will accept you not because you are quoting scripture, but they understand the values you are bringing. Are you following me? Hallelujah. But you have thoroughly bred Christian that will do a thorough job. So if someone says, Pastor, I just got a job with Breeze FM. I just got a job with Chat TV. Or just got a job, maybe with station that is very secular. I shouldn't be scared as a pastor. In fact, that is actually calling or requesting for how much discipleship has been done in the life of that person. That if pastor is scared that his member get a job with any secular, you are going to function in the secular. Do you understand? You carry a spiritual anointing, but that anointing will be deployed in the secular. So if a pastor is saying, don't join this one, no, don't join that one, no, you don't know what you are doing. You carry a spiritual anointing, a spiritual calling, but your context is secular. So our job is to ensure that we have been properly discipled, that whenever we get into such secular sector, we are able to give our best there and promote the interest of the kingdom. Now, I used to tell people, somebody said, I wish a pastor, a Christian, becomes the Senate president. That when they get to the Senate room, you can imagine that before they start praying, you say, let's pray, they only go for 30 minutes. Listen to me, that will never happen. And if it happens, it is insanity. Because I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor, so I'm not against speaking in tongues. But I've heard people say that when they get them, because any president, when they enter the Senate room, they will pray in tongues for 30 minutes. Listen, that is not what you are going to go and do there. It is not the praying in tongues 30 minutes there that will make you a Christian. But that you are number one, you are very sound, you are not all of the senators that use new back to cover their face and be sleeping when some sessions are going on. Some people are like that. They can't use one. Some of them use Google to cover it. Some Christians are like that. But that you enter the Senate chamber alive, spirit, soul, and body. If possible, pray in tongues under your breath to control the flow of plenary. But you are waiting for that curious moment, like they call it. When something that will determine the kingdom matter will be discussed, and that's when you will show up. But you know, whether people are going to listen to you at that moment is a function of who you have been on the Senate floor. Do you get what I said? That you are the type that you are cerebral, or what do they call it? Very sound. Alright? Raise emotion. People see sense in what you are saying. Alright? And when the moment comes for you to say something that we have fed the kingdom of God positively, you stand up to talk and people say yes. Not that they will say, Kilele, first of all, but you pray. Amen. So, what kind of position do you want to be? The one that locked down the Senate chamber and said, let's pray in tongues for 3 hours. You won't change that sphere like that. Because the Senate, whatever, does not function by praying in tongues. It functions by passing bills. Are you following me? So it's the number of bills that you pass that will determine that you will change that place. Not prayer. Only pray, don't lie. Nothing is established just because you pray. Your prayer can make the bill to be passed. But you must rise up and bring out a reasonable bill, support it with prayer and the favor of God, and that bill is passed. He told us that the 8th assembly that is rounding up, winding up for some couple of days now, they pass one of the most bills in all the assemblies, the 8th assembly together. And so somebody, when people are clapping for the Senate president, that at least they passed a lot of bills. If I was until 2-3 days ago, they still passed bills. And I'm sure they will probably still pass one this week before their tenure elapses. Alright, so if God has a Christian in that chamber, he himself can influence some bills that will favor the cause of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we have media, we have art and entertainment. We need to write that down. Most time when we talk about art and entertainment, people want to run away. I say, me, I know they do, you have to do, amen. If God has given you that burden or that grace, you have to do, but you must know how to do. Amen. Then business. That's the last one. Business. Business. So let me give you just 5 keys to deploying the influence of the kingdom in your sphere. 5 keys to deploying the influence of the kingdom. Number one, know your sphere. You can't belong everywhere. Do you understand? Most of us are young people. The earlier you know where you belong, the better. If you know where you belong on time and you face it headlong, you are going to influence things, really. But you can't be a young person and you are still running from pillar to post. Today you are in this one, tomorrow you are in that one. You are just dispensing your energy in different directions. Oh boy, you cannot influence anything. Influence actually answers to consistency. Amen. And you can't be consistent in something you are haphazard about. Amen. So you must know your what? Know your sphere. I've given you 7 of them, at least. And each of those 7 has different legs or dimensions. Media has different legs. Governance has different legs. Am I correct? Some of you may not enter into politics. You can becoming a Senate president, but you can be something in governance that will influence that sector. So know your sphere. Know where you belong. In case you already know where you belong, then very good. But in case you have not known, I've given you 7. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit will point your heart and give you a burden as to where exactly you'll be. Number 2, understand your influence. Number 2 should be understand your sphere. Number 1, know your sphere. Number 2, understand your what? The problem is that a lot of Christians are trying to... Now I've just explained this governance to you, maybe in a little way. A lot of people don't have that understanding. So they just already enter politics. And they're like, ah, suppose you really. It's not only important that you know your sphere, you must understand your sphere. If it is business, understand. If it is art and entertainment. Number 3 is what I just mentioned. Understand your own influence. How do you come in? What it is exactly that God wants you to do? You may not be able to do what everybody is doing, but it must be something exactly, there is a touch that God wants you to bring into that sphere. So understand your own influence. How do you come in? Where do you come in? Number four, know your trade or and master your skill. Know your trade and master your skill or your heart. That means be a person of excellence. One of the things that will make you to be an influential person is to be a person of what? Excellence. Nobody can influence in mediocrity. I just gave you an example of a senator that is standing up to bring up a bill. Whether his fellow senator will listen to him or not, it's a function of who he has been on the floor. If it's a newspaper, a face covering senator, sleeping senator in the Senate chamber, nobody will listen to him. Somebody gave us an analogy that in the U.S. Senate and some other developed country, that libraries, that when they are coming to the Senate chamber, they bring books. Am I correct? But in Nigeria, I don't know what they bring. Amen. How many of you have seen them coming to them and they are bringing books? Me, nothing. The only book I see with them is newspaper. But in some other developed country, they bring their books. So they are consulting. All right? Books and material. So you must master your trade. I love what one of us posted on Facebook. I got that very quick, very fine. It was Martin Luther that said that. He said a shoemaker, let me paraphrase it. A shoemaker does not promote Christ by inscribing a sign of a cross on his shoe. He promotes Christ by doing an excellent shoe. You know when he says, I am a shoemaker, let Christ be known. It doesn't mean that you write Jesus on the shoe. It means that you will do the shoe so perfectly, somebody will ask who made this shoe. That's what a shoemaker should do. Amen. I said, amen. Say, amen. So when I become a shoemaker, write Jesus. Jesus said, don't write me there. This is mediocrity. You don't need to write Jesus on it. Put excellence. Put Jesus in it. Amen. Because Jesus epitomized excellence. Am I correct? Jesus is a man that knows what he's doing. Amen. So if you don't know what you are doing, you are not representing Jesus. Amen. So I'm a person of excellence. Oh, because God is not your partner to mediocrity. Number five, grow your influence, starting with your Jerusalem. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, you shall be witness of me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Grow your influence. That, in that little corner you are, start doing something. I know you will be turning president one day, but you are all rep or SR, you're lead on campus. What are you doing at that level? You are class governor, class. What are you doing at that level? You are working in a place. What are you doing that level? So grow your starting with your what? Your Jerusalem, meaning your domain or wherever it is written from. The last one, maintain integrity. That's number six, and that's the last. So maintain what? Integrity. Integrity simply means consistency of words and action, of motives and action. Integrity means us matches your works. Your words is your words match your works. Integrity is adherence to principles of morality and uprightness. As Christians, our integrity is founded on the development of the character of the Spirit. But the character of the Spirit must not be loved in our spirit, must be allowed to function out there. Integrity is not of the heart alone, it's also of the act, for it begins with the heart. Because nothing influences more than integrity. Businesses, families, relationships, churches thrive on the wings of integrity. I was taught in the school of business that integrity is capital. Integrity is what? People are going, money will gravitate towards you to the extent that you are a person of integrity. Somebody can post 10 million to your account and say, just hold it. Some people are the one looking for money, but another person goes, can you help me keep this money? Because they know you are a person of integrity. But that they cannot keep money with you, it is a problem somewhere. So be a person of integrity. Integrity is capital. Integrity is the real capital for life and business. Because there is a direct correlation between your character and capital. Hallelujah. The Lord will help us. Let's stand to our feet. Did you get something? Pastor, did you get something? I gave you 6 points. Know your influence. Know your sphere. Alright? Understand your sphere. Know your influence. Grow your influence. Master your art and trade.
then of course maintain what? Integrity. Can we rise to our feet, everybody, as we pray together this morning? Do you get something? Just talk to God. Lord, I want to be a person of influence. In fact, you're already a person of influence. So ask the Lord to help you to deploy that influence wherever you find yourself. Deploy it. Nations are waiting for you. God is waiting for you to bring him to bear. Some of you are saying, Lord, show up in this company. God is saying, no, I am here because you are here. Lord, show up in this family. A lot of people are doing whatever they like. God says, I'm here because you are here. Lord, talk to God this morning. Lord, please help me to deploy my influence wherever it is that you have placed me. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, pray. Finally, I want us to put our right hand on our chest and ask that Holy Spirit, help me to make Jesus known. Help me to make Jesus known everywhere and in every way. Help me to make Jesus known. Help me to make Jesus known. Jesus, I know you are real in my own life and in my own heart. I will not bottle you. I will not cover you. I will make you known. I will not be afraid of showing you to my world. Just like an unbeliever will not be afraid of bringing nudes or strippers to a night jam. If I happen to be the leader at my own time, I will do something better. I will not lock you up in my heart. I will release you to my world. Thank you, Father. That will bless this word in our hearts and make us doers of the same. I hear God saying to us this morning, I will give you positions. And I will give you promotions. And Lord, we go forth with this prophetic word. As we give us positions, give us promotion, we will make you famous. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have put your hands together for the Lord.
We know that this message has been of tremendous blessing to you. For information on how you can get more of our messages and ministry materials, or how you can partner with us to bless more lives all over the world, kindly visit our website, www.destinyimpactchurch.org, or call the following numbers, 0803-832-8650, or 0809-462-8743. Thanks and God bless you. Destiny Impact Church, empowering in destinies. Jesus is Lord.